This is KRCU's Going Public, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson. Good food and fellowship go hand in hand, and now a group of area faith leaders are taking that to the next level for what some say is the first of its kind in Cape Girardeau. It's an interfaith dinner, bringing together the religious and non-religious. Three leaders who are taking part in this are Reverend Edie Bird of Christ Episcopal Church, Pastor Tyler Tankersley of First Baptist Church in Cape Girardeau, and Dr. Tahseen Khalid, who is a Muslim and worships at the Islamic Center in Cape Girardeau. Here's our conversation. What's the story behind all of you coming together? Tyler, I'll start with you.
I grew up in Southeast Missouri, grew up in Jackson, and have been raised in this area. And I think that the impetus for wanting to have this event was a group of people who were recognizing that diversity is something that exists in Southeast Missouri and something that needs to be acknowledged and needs to be celebrated. And so we wanted to provide an opportunity for people of different faiths, of no faith, people who are still searching kind of for their own path, to come together and to fellowship with one another and to socialize with one another and get to acknowledge and celebrate the diversity that already exists in our neighborhoods.
Was there a moment, a specific moment that was kind of like, okay, we really need to have this conversation?
My sense is that there's been a rise in some hate speech and hate crimes over the last several months. And I think that probably caused those of us who were motivated to do this to have even more, greater concern that we'd like to see stronger relationships among different faiths here so that there'll be less misunderstanding and less of that sort of thing happening.
Now, we're referring to like the executive order from President Donald Trump's initial executive order that's since been revised to some degree for the temporary ban for refugees coming from initially 7 but now 6 Muslim-majority countries? Or was it just the initial election itself where a lot of these things started coming up in the rhetoric?
I think that those things that have happened on the political sphere of things certainly contributed to the need or the feeling that there's a need for us to have an event like this. But I think an event like this should exist whether or not there's things happening in the news nationally. Like I said, we have diversity in our community as is. And I think many of us grow up in an echo chamber where we don't interact with people who believe or think differently than us, even though they may live just down the street from us. And so regardless of what's happening in the global or national news, this is an important conversation to have.
And actually, that's what I was thinking when I joined this group, that I'm being a Muslim, sometimes I feel like it's one of the most misunderstood religion. And what we hear in the media and in the news is mostly negative. And so, as Pastor Tankersley said, that it's good to have communication and understanding each other. And being a professionally an educator, I think is my job is to educate people, whether it's education, science, math, or religion.
What is one misconception that you're finding that is problematic when it comes to your faith and what everyone else sees of it?
I was presenting at a high school in Scott City, and the next day the teacher emailed me about my presentation, and you know, he was thanking and those things. But one thing that he said that students were surprised that I was a nice guy being a Muslim.
Really?
That's just one example. And the other things that I always hear, you know, this is an organization called ISIS. They use the word Islamic State. And everywhere we hear that somebody did something wrong, and ISIS, when ISIS finds out that person is dead, they quickly claim that he was their soldier. Mm-hmm. And then we hear in the media, oh, that person was good, and then he radicalized. And I said, what do you mean by radicalized? And nobody does any investigation who those people were and what their background was, what their criminal history was. And when we do some research, we find out that they were all criminals. So criminals do these criminal activity, or they were some had some issues. For example, there was one person, I think it was in France or somewhere, who drove a truck to a big group of people celebrating or something, and he was an ISIS Islamic State soldier. And I read about him. Somebody in Dutch paper did a research, and they found that he was alcoholic, he was porn lover. So, I mean, he was all the crazy thing that we think this morally bad he would do. And then he became the soldier of Islamic State. So now if somebody reached this, they say, oh, so that's the Islamic people do, all these immoral things. Mm-hmm. And Islam has same moral values.
What is Islam about? What is your faith about?
Islam is about, number one, the main thing is worshiping God, declaring God as the one. And this is talking about misconception. People think that Muslims believe in a different God, which is Allah. Yeah, Allah. That's what we say, the word Allah. But Allah is an Arabic word. And if you translate it into English, that will be the God. So the same entity, different languages. If you go further south, I don't know if we'll be able to go because there'll be a wall between two countries.
And a river.
Okay. So they speak Spanish. And they use the word El Dios. So do they worship a different God? I know there are a lot of Catholics there. So do they have a different God from the English-speaking God? Or no, it's the same God. And an interesting thing is those people who are not Muslim, but they speak Arabic, they say the word Allah. Mm-hmm. If you read the Bible, the Arabic version, you will read that word Allah in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus used the word Allah in Aramaic. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so same root word when he referred to God, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's the same entity. So that's one thing, that we worship the God. And so and we think that God is the creator of everything, us, and he takes care of us. And then we have beliefs in prophets, messengers, and they start from Prophet Adam, Prophet Noah, Prophet Abraham, and we say that Prophet Abraham is the father of all these religions, like Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. This is the same father, and we still believe in him and his. He brought some books, and there were other prophets like Prophet Isaac, Prophet Ishmael, Prophet Moses, Jacob, Joseph, and all these prophets. So we believe in all of them. And several of those prophets brought books like Torah, Psalm, Injil. So we believe in all these books. And this, we believe that the last book is the Quran. And we believe in the concept of hereafter, this concept of accountability. If we do something, will be rewarded, and if we do something wrong, we'll be held responsible for that. And we also believe in angels, like Angel Gabriel, we call him Jibreel. And so we believe in Prophet Jesus, we believe in Virgin Mary, and the Quran, if you look at the Quran, you will find Prophet Jesus' name is mentioned about 55, 60 times. In the Quran, Virgin Mary's name is mentioned about 35, 40 times.
This goes into something that has been seen a lot during this political season. Why is there such a division within Christianity, that belief system?
I think because Christianity is a very wide tent. And I think that part of the whole reason that this event feels necessary to me is that the art of disagreement, I feel like, is lost in our society. That we have bought into this myth that in order for there to be community, there has to be uniformity, that we have to agree on everything. And I think that's ridiculous. I think if you ask any church that there is diversity in belief in the church, we don't all agree. We don't all interpret the Bible in the exact same way. We may disagree on things like creation and that sort of stuff, and that's okay. We can allow for that disagreement. I think when we begin to make issues, when we begin to use issues to divide amongst ourselves, it creates all of those different factions. And diversity, even within Christianity, is a beautiful thing. There are things that we would do at First Baptist, and we would talk about at First Baptist, that Edie may not be talking about at Christ Episcopal, and vice versa. And our belief is that we are the body of Christ together, not separated. And, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about how a hand has a different function than a foot. They're still connected to the same body, but very different appendages.
After the break, we'll continue our conversation with area faith leaders Pastor Tyler Tankersley, Dr. Tahseen Khalid, and Reverend Edie Byrd.
I'm Ari Shapiro. If you find NPR reliable and comforting, you're not alone. If your old car is a bit less than reliable, well, you're not alone either. Donate your car to us and turn it into the programs you love.
Visit KRCU.org and click on support for all the details.
We're back with KRCU's Going Public. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Before the break, my guest, Reverend Edie Byrd, Pastor Tyler Tankersley, and Dr. Tahseen Khalid spoke with me about the importance of religious and non-religious communities coming together. Here's more from that conversation. Are conversations enough at this point?
You have to start someplace. And so you start by meeting one another, and you start by raising some, at first, just surface conversations. I agree with Tyler about the importance of diversity, and I'd go farther and say that it's actually essential. Mm. It's essential to really being a human being, that we are in relationship, and the deeper the relationships, the better, with people who really disagree with us on all kinds of things. Because each human being has only a very partial point of view of the whole. And if we're seeking for truth, and if we're seeking for God, who is absolute truth, then we need to understand the disagreements of others, because that gives us a larger view into that window to see a little bit more of the truth. Where we make our mistake is if we think that my little piece of things is actually the truth. That's actually completely wrong. And that's what gets us into trouble. But the greater the many points of view that can come together, and the more we can listen deeply and express calmly and respectfully our differences, the greater chances we have for really building a real peaceful society. So yeah, you start by just coming together. You start with some initial conversations. You start with the ones that are easier to have, and then over time you
like what?
Well, just who are you? What do you believe? What do you like? What are your basic goals in life? Then you start with areas where you actually find yourselves in some disagreements, and you look at how can we work together on the things we agree on. How can we use these, you know, find these core values and help us work together to be creative, to create a better city, to create a better neighborhood? But you have to start kind of with small things, build up the trust, and then move into working together on larger issues.
Now, this could be really tricky, because when you're talking about faith and the different types of belief systems within any type of religion that you practice, some people will go along the lines of, well, that's not right, you know, and that's kind of where the conversation might stop. How do we get past the, well, that's not right, part of the conversation?
I think that when you are not even willing to be exposed to what somebody else thinks, that shows an incredible amount of insecurity in your own faith structure. If you're not even willing to be in dialogue, to be in conversation with somebody who disagrees with you, then I think your faith has some pretty weak supports to it.
And the opposite of that's not right to me is, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. I don't know about that. So tell me more about that. I'd like to hear what your experience of that is. Tell me more. To me, that's what makes these kind of things really interesting, yeah. And that's what builds relationship.
What are some misconceptions about the Christian faith that people aren't aware of? And that is a tricky question because you're talking about denominations as well.
Well, I know I grew up in Oklahoma, and so in that particular time when I was growing up, I would hear from a lot of people who were trying to convert me as if I wasn't a Christian, and they just assumed that my church was not really a Christian church. And that was a huge misconception. And so I had to learn pretty early in my life to speak up for my own experience and to value my own experience of God and to value it enough that I was willing to talk to people who were aggressively sure that I didn't have any such experience. And that was my first experience of that. Now I know there's more misconceptions that are coming out of folks who've rejected Christianity because they've been traumatized and hurt. And I totally understand the traumas people have faced in various church environments. So I try to listen first and not speak so much when I'm mindful in those situations, because a lot of that is coming out of having been hurt by the various Christian churches. And I need to understand better what kind of hurt somebody has suffered and what they're projecting onto me as a Christian in those moments.
Yeah, and I think that some of the misconceptions you've touched on, Marissa, and that there is that people tend to lump Christians together in the same sort of voting block, in the same sort of ideology, and there's a lot of diversity. We understand the relationship between faith and science really differently within Christianity. We understand issues of relationships a lot differently. We allow for that diversity because what unifies us is a belief in Christ. But I think one of the most common misconceptions is that being a Christian means that you have all the answers. And I think that
What do you mean?
I think that what people often forget, and maybe especially people within Christianity, is that first and foremost we are people of humility, and we are people that have to rely on things outside of our own senses to seek truth. And that humility is what can allow us to be in dialogue, to learn more from somebody else's experience, to maybe God is speaking to us through that other person's experience, even if they don't go to church with us, even if they don't go to a church at all. So humility, I think, is at the basis of what it means to be a Christian.
Now, I've heard so many intersections between all three of you, and this is something that speaks to why you're having the interfaith dinner, which to some degree, interfaith is kind of a strange way to say it because you have people who don't believe at all.
That's right.
That are going to be there. But I hear so many similarities and there are differences as you all speak. Is that something that you all are trying to achieve when this dinner happens, to find that intersection where you all come together?
I think that a phrase like interfaith dialogue can sometimes rub people the wrong way, because what they think what is trying to be accomplished is a watering down of the different faiths that are represented. And, you know, we're trying to get to this place where all paths are the same and that sort of stuff. And I think that just because we're in dialogue doesn't mean that we're watering down what we believe. And we are all on a pursuit of truth. That's what faith is. It's a pursuit of truth. And we have chosen different paths to follow, and that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't mean that being in dialogue with one another means that I have to water down what I believe to learn more about what my sister or brother believes.
Now, will this be the precursor to more conversations, or like a series? What's going to look like at the end?
The hope is that we're moving into more regular conversations. Maybe there will be some monthly gatherings that are less formal. Try to do some of these more formal events a couple of times a year and just keep these going. Yeah.
Yeah, and part of this is not a finish line. This is a starting pistol that mm-hmm. we are seeking to increase the amount of opportunities for dialogue, but not just dialogue, also just community and justice and peacemaking. You know, that's one thing that we have in common is we believe that our faith compels us to do good in the community, and that's something that we can partner together on. And so we're hoping that this event will serve as a catalyst for these sort of relationships that can propel us further into doing good together in the community.
That was Reverend Edie Bird, Pastor Tyler Tankersley, and Dr. Tasin Khalid talking with me about the upcoming Interfaith Dinner in Cape Girardeau next Friday. You can find our discussion at krcu.org or find us on iTunes to hear this podcast. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Join me every Friday night at 6 and Sundays at 3 for KRCU's Going Public.